time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today. Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Lowe sabe que a todos nos gusta ahorrar, especialmente en esta temporada. Por eso escogimos deals buenísimos para Early Black Friday. Obtén gratis una herramienta selecta de DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman al comprar una batería o un kit selecto. También tenemos árboles de Navidad preiluminados selectos desde $59.98, porque nunca es muy pronto para poner el arbolito. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Hasta agotar existencia, selección varía por lugar.
All right, folks, I'm here with Liz Crokin, and you may be familiar with her work, Out of Shadows, etc. She's very active on Twitter, and I've been watching a lot of your tweets. In fact, and a huge thank you for coming on, you mentioned about, pizzas. Mm-hmm. And we saw the record, the alleged leaked phone call from the jail that Diddy made, talking about getting rid of the pizza boxes. Uh-huh. Did you see any correlation there?
Well, okay, I did look into that. That video got leaked a few weeks ago. I'm skeptical of it, though, because it just kind of popped up on random accounts and nobody said what the source was. So I'm not sure if that's a real audio phone call from Diddy talking to someone in jail, because there's been no one that's really confirmed it, or no mainstream source, or no source whatsoever, whatever. So I don't know if it's real. With that being said, if it is real, what we do know for an absolute fact is that pizza is a pedophile code word. And what we also know is that Diddy is being accused of not just sex trafficking sex workers and adults. We also know that he has now been accused in multiple civil lawsuits of raping children. And so it wouldn't surprise me if he said that, but I just can't confirm if that audio is actually real or if it's AI or whatnot. But pizza is a confirmed pedophile code word, and it's been used by sex predators specifically online and including on social media platforms to prey on children, to buy and sell child porn or child sexual abuse material.
What was the origin of the word, and how was it discovered? How was it unearthed that it was being used by these people?
Right. So I had no idea that it was a pedophile code word, or that pedophiles even use code words. And going back to 2016, I wasn't really familiar with, not just pedophilia, but I wasn't familiar with how widespread this problem is, especially in elite circles. And what happened in 2016 is Julian Assange released the Podesta emails and the DNC emails right before the election between Trump and Hillary Clinton. And in those emails, a lot of Hillary Clinton's associates were using repeatedly food words, especially the word pizza, in a context that clearly did not apply to food. Now, back then, when I read those emails and started researching, well, what could this mean? Back then, there was evidence that pizza was a pedophile code word. Since then, it has been confirmed by DOJ records, the FBI, local law enforcement, and many mainstream media outlets, including a huge piece that was done by the Wall Street Journal last year, that pizza is indeed a pedophile code word. So when those emails came out and we saw that Hillary Clinton, John Podesta, and their associates were using pizza in a context that does not make sense and or apply to food. For example, Tony Podesta wrote an email that said, "I need to get pizza for an hour." Well, how do you get pizza for an hour? I mean, it makes no sense. You can get a sex worker for an hour. You can get a child sex slave for an hour. You can get a massage for an hour. You can't get a pizza for an hour. So after those emails came out, my researchers and people like myself realized that these people were involved in child sex trafficking. And so hence the term Pizzagate came from that.
Yeah, so I wrote a book called Clinton, Bush, and CIA Conspiracies from the Boys on the Tracks of Jeffrey Epstein. And in it, researching it, I learned that the Clintons are some of the most evil people in the world. Based on your own research, you know, what did you find out about the Clintons?
So with the Clintons, their involvement in child sex trafficking, the evidence does not just lie in those emails where they're using known pedophile code words. That's just a part of it. When you deep dive into the Clintons, you will find out that they have a long history working with known pedophiles and sex traffickers. We all know that they were very close friends with Jeffrey Epstein. And when I say close friends, they didn't just happen to be at a few parties that he was at. They, both Hillary and Bill Clinton, not only regularly went to his pedophile islands, they took family trips at least once or more than once a year to his New Mexico ranch. And we know that he was trafficking children at both the island and the New Mexico ranch. Jeffrey Epstein also claimed that he was one of the co-founders of the Clinton Foundation. Ghislaine Maxwell, who was one of his traffickers, also claimed this. Ghislaine was also very close with the Clintons. Ghislaine also went to Chelsea's wedding. And if you look at the Clinton Foundation, you will learn that the Clinton Foundation has been accused in many reports of trafficking children, including in the Inspector General's report that came out, I believe, in either 2018 or 2019. That report cited, so this is an official government document, an official Inspector General's investigation that said the Clinton Foundation is involved in crimes against children. And then if you look back prior to when Hillary Clinton ran for office, when she was working as the Secretary of State, she actually covered up a pedophile ring that was occurring within the State Department. And years ago, Chuck Todd actually exposed this and covered this. And then, I mean, I can go on and on, but I'll just give you one more example.
I'm loving it. Please do.
it's not like there's just a little evidence that they're involved in the rape, torture, and trafficking of children. It's overwhelming. But I'll just give you one more example. Hillary Clinton, when she was a senator, she had a woman named Tamara Lozado, who was her chief of staff. This woman is in the Podesta emails, and she is providing three children for, quote, unquote, like their words, not mine, for entertainment for a party, an adult party that John Podesta was having, an adult pool party, no less. This woman used to run a password-protected website called Evie's Crib that had all the markers of being a child porn site. So there are a lot of tabs on the side that, like, things like baby Ambien and just really gross, raunchy things, like just words that are normally only used in the context of porn. And then there were all these pictures of children in sexually explicit manners or with sexually explicit like comments or tabs on them. And so yeah. And then actually, let me add in one more thing. There was a woman named Laura Silsby who was charged with child sex trafficking in Haiti. She was charged with attempting to sex traffic 33 children out of Haiti. Some of those kids had parents. She was charged with sex trafficking in Haiti. Her lawyer actually was also charged with sex trafficking. And who helped her get out of jail and escape justice in Haiti? It was none other than Bill and Hillary Clinton. And then even more disturbingly, after she was charged with attempting to sex traffic these children out of Haiti, they gave her a posh position working for AlertSense. And AlertSense is the government company that does the Amber Alert, that issues out the Amber Alerts when a child goes missing. So I mean, there's red flags everywhere and the rabbit hole is deep, but the Clintons are 100% involved in child sex trafficking, and they have been for many, many years. So it, again, it's not just the code words that they're using in their emails. It goes way beyond that.
How dark does it go then with the likes of Diddy, Epstein, the Clintons? Does it go into SRA? You know, if we hear about adrenochrome and that kind of thing, child sacrifice. Does it get that dark for these elites?
Yes, absolutely. So what people are going to start to find out, and I do believe this is going to be exposed, is that these people were not just involved in child sex trafficking. They were not just raping children. Many of these elites worship Satan. They literally worship Satan, and many of them engage in satanic rituals. And that also entails often the satanic ritualistic abuse of children. Animal sacrifices, child sacrifices, torture. These people believe that if they torture children, if they sacrifice children, if they sacrifice animals, they believe that they get power from that because they worship Satan. So people are going to find out that this is going to get much deeper and much darker. And I will add that in terms of what Jeffrey Epstein was doing that the mainstream media and a lot of people don't talk about and or just don't know about is that what Jeffrey Epstein was doing goes way beyond simply sex trafficking. Jeffrey Epstein was involved with many scientists, many doctors. He wanted to turn his New Mexico ranch into a baby breeding farm. Epstein was very interested in doing all different kinds of DNA experiments and other kinds of experiments. And I also believe that he was involved in mind control and potentially cloning experiments. So people are going to find out that it goes much darker and it gets more disturbing than simply sex trafficking. And then I will add that if you look at Jeffrey Epstein's island, he had the temple. And it's like, well, what's that all about? Why was there a temple on Jeffrey Epstein's island? Well, that's because these people are Satanists. They worship the occult. And I'm very confident that they were doing not just trafficking children and young women on the island and having little parties. I'm very confident that they were engaging in the satanic ritualistic abuse of children over there. And they were also engaged in satanic rituals. So I do believe that all of that darker stuff is going to come out. I do have sources that have told me that his island didn't just have this creepy temple. There was also satanic symbolism and just really dark satanic art, like the John and Tony Podesta's art. I don't know if you've ever seen images of his art, but there are depicted satanic rituals, child rape. Tony Podesta had a gold statue in his home that depicted one of Jeffrey Dahmer's victims decapitated. Like this was just a dead body with his head missing in gold. You walk into the main foyer of his home and like that's the first thing you see. Like what normal person would want art like that? What normal, you know, Christian would have art like that? What person that is not a pedophile would want art depicting pedophilia and child rape in their homes. So it does go much deeper, much darker. And also I do believe that they were, or actually I don't believe, I know that they were also involved in extracting adrenochrome and or blood from these trafficked individuals and or children.
So with the Diddy case then, one of the bodyguards was talking about the sodomy of the young people, the forced raping of them, mm-hmm. was debasing the root chakra, they transfer the energy by debasing the root chakra to the person perpetrating these horrific crimes, in this case Diddy and his co-conspirators. Mm-hmm. It's a form of black magic, form of voodoo. Have you heard anything about that?
Specifically about that particular act, no, but I do know that again, when these people are not just raping children for sexual gratification, they are doing satanic ritualistic abuse because they do believe in the occult, voodoo, black magic, whatever you want to call it. And so that doesn't surprise me at all. And there actually was a blind item that came out a few years ago where it came out on Crazy Days and Nights, that blog. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but they've exposed a lot of information that turned out to be true. A few years ago, there was a blind item that came out that said that Diddy once made one of his employees go get a live baby goat to bring onto his yacht. And he took that goat and sacrificed, like, beheaded it and sacrificed it in a ritual in front of his guests. That's normal to these people. They sacrifice children. They sacrifice animals. Like, that is not something that is this. That's what they do. I mean, that's what Satanism involves.
Yeah. So we interviewed a lady called Corinne Hutzibau. She told us about the adrenochrome. She goes into prisons and sits down with the most horrific offenders. I don't know if you're familiar with her work, but from your work then, what evidence of adrenochrome have you found? Like how is it manufactured? What's the process involved?
So I know someone that actually does work rescuing children, and there was one survivor that they rescued who she didn't know what happened to her, but what she was describing to them is that they were draining her blood and terrorizing her at the same time. And they actually went to take her to get medical testing done to see if they could prove that she had evidence of that happening to her. And then sure enough, they were able to prove that, yeah, that is what happened to her. And they believe that they were extracting adrenochrome from her, but the victim didn't know that that's what they were doing. All she knew is that, like, she was hooked up to IVs and they were draining her blood and all this other stuff. But to my understanding, adrenochrome is when a person is terrorized, they go into fight or flight mode, and it releases a chemical from your brain that creates a very potent drug. It's supposed to be, I don't know, the most powerful drug there is. But when that person's in a state of terror and in that fight or flight mode, that's when they are able to extract the drug. And it's supposed to be very expensive and very powerful. And it's apparently, you know, the drug of the elites. It's a drug that they all love. And if you actually look back into pop culture at some of these old movies going back from decades ago, A Clockwork Orange is a perfect example. In the first scene of that movie, they're taking adrenochrome and then they're going on this crazy, you know, crime spree all night. I also believe, what was that movie with Johnny Depp? Was it Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas? Is it that one? In that film as well, there's a scene where they're consuming adrenochrome. And, you know, these films came out literally decades ago and they openly call it adrenochrome. So it's just funny because, you know, when people like us talk about adrenochrome, the mainstream media says it's not real, it doesn't exist, you know, we're crazy, we're making this up. But there's been references to this drug in pop culture, in movies, in books that were written by, you know, elites. So this isn't something that's made up. It's a real thing. And we have real survivors that have had, you know, their blood and adrenochrome extracted from them. And then the one more thing that I'll add about that is that, I don't know if you remember this, but when Britney Spears gave her testimony about her conservatorship, this would have been in 2021. She gave her, it was the first time that she was able to speak in court about her conservatorship. They had silenced her for years, and she finally was able to tell her story. And she gave this great testimony, and she went into detail about a lot of the abuse that she suffered at the hands of her traffickers. One of the things that she said that they did to her is that they took an incredible amount of blood from her, just a ton of blood from her. And she never said why they were doing that. And no one's, ever explained why they'd be taking all this blood from her. But for someone like me that understands that these elites are involved in, you know, consuming adrenochrome and blood, because they are like vampires. They do believe that drinking the blood of other people and children, you know, keeps them young. Looking back at that testimony with Brittany, it makes me wonder, you know, what were they using her blood for? Why were they taking her blood? Were they extracting adrenochrome from her? Were they drinking her blood? I mean, she's this young, beautiful woman, and she's so powerful, right? No one's really answered that question. And to link Britney Spears and her situation with Diddy, well, what we do know with Britney is that she was thrown in this conservatorship illegally. She was trafficked. She was abused. They stole hundreds of millions of dollars worth of her money. She was enslaved. They used her social media page to lie about her situation. She was forced to work against her will. She wasn't paid any money. What they did to her was awful. Well, who not only was managing her, but who was the one that was behind this entire conservatorship? It was a woman called Lou Taylor. Well, who's Lou Taylor? Lou Taylor runs this sports and entertainment management company. And guess who else she represents? Diddy, the Kardashians. And we also know that one of Lou Taylor's executives, a woman named Robin Greenhill, she was actually paying Diddy's sex workers. So this web is very big, and there's a lot of players in it, and there's a lot of bad people involved. But I don't think it's a coincidence that the woman that was behind the trafficking and the abuse and the theft of all of Britney's money also represents Diddy, who now we know was not only running a sex trafficking ring, we also know that he was blackmailing people.
All right, let's talk about the timings then of these cases and when people get exposed, because with Epstein, with his first case, he got a pass, Acosta came in. And then with his second case, they snuffed him out, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. With Diddy, you know, there's parallels with Jeffrey. And people are speculating as to whether he will get snuffed out because higher up people could be implicated. Do you think that these people are just used for a period of time and then they're expendable? And that's why Jeffrey was snuffed and Diddy's in jail?
I think that they, in some cases, they will take some of these lower level predators and throw them to the wolves, partly to take the heat off them. I believe that's what they did with R. Kelly, actually. I believe that R. Kelly was doing horrible things. He's a monster. He's a sex predator. But he was, I don't believe that he was working for an intelligence agency or the feds. And I don't believe that he was running a blackmail ring that was involved politicians and celebrities like Diddy. So I think when the Me Too movement came out and a lot of these people were getting exposed, you know, the powers that be threw him under the bus because it took the heat off of people like Diddy and Jay-Z and people in their ring, which I believe is a much bigger and more powerful ring. So in that case, I believe that he was kind of a sacrificial lamb, right? But in terms of Jeffrey Epstein and Diddy, I do not believe that they're sacrificial lambs, because Jeffrey Epstein and Diddy tie to way too many big and powerful people. I do believe that there are good people in the intelligence community and in law enforcement and the FBI that are working for good. And I do believe that's why we did see the fall of Jeffrey Epstein and Diddy. Now, will Diddy get knocked off just like potentially Jeffrey Epstein did? Because we still don't really know what happened with Jeffrey Epstein. I mean, is he really even dead? Who knows? But I honestly don't think it matters at this point, because here's the problem with Diddy's situation, which is a little bit different than Jeffrey Epstein's situation. I do believe law enforcement and the feds and Homeland Security seized all of the blackmail tapes that he had, because just like Jeffrey Epstein, he was videotaping all these powerful people in compromising positions, raping other people, raping children, and doing Lord knows what else, right? The problem with Diddy's ring is that there are other people that obtained copies of these tapes. So it's not just law enforcement that has them. Some of these bodyguards got copies of some of these tapes. Kim Porter, his now dead wife, who died in a very, in my opinion, suspicious circumstances and most likely was probably murdered. She allegedly had a lot of these tapes too. And there are other people that not only have these tapes, they have seen these tapes and they've potentially been either, you know, trying to sell them to the media and or giving these tapes to law enforcement and some of these lawyers that are representing these victims in civil lawsuits. So if all these people, aside from law enforcement, have a lot of these tapes or many of them that implicate dozens, if not hundreds of other celebrities, that's hardcore evidence that could incriminate them. So even if something happens to Diddy, I think these people are still screwed. There's too many victims. There's too many witnesses. There's too many witnesses that are emboldened now coming forward. And there's too many people that have the tapes and other forms of evidence. So I hope that doesn't happen with Diddy. I just saw today that they've been going in and they've been sweeping the jail for weapons and stuff. So it does seem like there's some shady stuff going on, you know, in that prison. But with that being said, if he gets, you know, quote unquote Epstein's, I think these other people are still screwed. And the lawyer actually that's representing several, over 100 of Diddy's victims, he's been filing lawsuits left and right. And he said a couple days ago that they're going to start naming the names of the other celebrities that were perpetrators. And one of those celebrities watched Diddy rape a child. And that celebrity was a female. And that celebrity, we don't know who that celebrity is, but the night that this rape allegedly happened, which was about 2 decades ago, was the night of the MTV VMAs. And we know for a fact that Diddy was dating Jennifer Lopez at that point in time. We also know for a fact that Jennifer Lopez attended the VMAs with him that night. And we also know that she attended an after party, at least one after party with him that night. And the rape happened that night. So I don't know, what are the odds that that female celebrity that witnessed Diddy raping this child is J-Lo? I think it's pretty high.
Yeah, she looked pretty ghoulish in the video she did the other day. And she's very stressed out during interviews when anyone brings Diddy up. It's like she's really got something to hide because there was the nightclub shooting incident as well. So I think you're spot on there. I think a lot more is going to come out about J-Lo. But you earlier referenced Jay-Z, Beyonce. What do you think their involvement is? How high up in the club are they?
Oh, I believe that they are much more worse and more powerful than Diddy. Absolutely. I have done stories on Jay-Z for decades, going back to when I was working in the mainstream media and working for a lot of these celebrity magazines. And yeah, they are as guilty as they come. They are, I believe, way more powerful than Diddy. I mean, if you look at it like a pyramid, I would say that you, maybe Diddy's here and Jay-Z and Beyonce are here. And because they are more powerful, I do believe they've been able to get away with their criminality much longer than he has, since they are higher up. But I did a lot of stories about mistresses that he had and or love children that he's had with these mistresses. And there was one mistress that I was supposed to do an interview with. Her name was Kathy White. And at this point in time, I was working for Star Magazine. And I was coming out with a story about how she was having an affair with Jay-Z. And this story was already on a few blogs, but it had not hit one of the major magazines yet. And keep in mind, this was a time when there really wasn't social media and everybody was getting news from the about 5 different magazines here in the United States, right? So that would have been a game changer if this story made it on the front page of Star Magazine. So I said, look, you know, I have the evidence that you guys are having an affair, and we're going to run this story whether you want to comment or not. But I want to give you a chance to tell your side of the story. It's going to come out anyways. And she basically told me that she would think about it and she would get back to me, but she was considering it. And then the next thing I know, you know, a few days later, I can't get a hold of her. So I'm calling. I can't get a hold of her. So I ended up calling one of her colleagues at her office. And her colleague said, oh, yeah, she's dead. And I'm sitting here like, what? And they're like, oh, yeah, she just died. I'm like, what do you mean she died? Why did she die? How did she die? What happened to her? Because she was a seemingly very healthy 28-year-old. It made no sense. And I believe at the time they said that it was a brain aneurysm, but I remember looking into it back then. Nothing added up. It was a very suspicious death. And then over the years, and I always felt in my gut 100% that Jay-Z was involved in this, that he was involved in, and or ordered her hit. And over the years, I did meet people, sources that knew her and that were involved in that circle. And they confirmed to me that, yes, he was involved in her murder. And she did not die of natural causes at the age of 28. She was murdered. Now, Jaguar Wright has talked about Kathy White as well. And she said that Beyonce is involved in her death as well, and may have been more involved than Jay-Z. So that wouldn't surprise me, but you know.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
I can't confirm that Beyonce was directly involved. Wouldn't surprise me, but my sources have always said that Jay-Z 100% is involved. And one more thing that I will add about Jay-Z is that Jay-Z has multiple love children. And, you know, I've been doing stories and working on stories about these love children going back again, you know, 15 years ago, like for a very long time. And this has been confirmed. These are not conspiracy theories. Initially, when the reports came out about Jay-Z, you know, having an affair on Beyonce, cheating, these love children, they just ignored these stories or they denied it, right? But then through the years, they themselves started admitting that, yeah, he was cheating on Beyonce. Beyonce made a lot of money off of him cheating on her. Like the Lemonade song, like her album, whatever. She started singing about how he was cheating on her. So, but there is one case that I've covered more recently that I find really interesting is that a lot of these women that he's had love children with, you know, he doesn't acknowledge necessarily publicly that, oh, yes, this is my love child. But he has worked out some kind of deal with those moms where it's kind of like, all right, I'll take care of you financially. Just shut up about this and we'll be good. And that seems to be what he's done with these other love children. Well, there's this one case where there's this one alleged love child that he has. His name's Ramir. And his mother, who's no longer with us, but he and his mother have been trying to get the Jay-Z to take a DNA test for years, and he refuses. And they've threatened him and they've used lawfare tactics against him for years, which tells me that if he wasn't really Jay-Z's kid, just take the DNA test and prove it. It's not my kid. Leave me alone. They've refused to do that. They've made their lives hell. And initially I was thinking, well, why wouldn't he just, you know, throw them some money and be like, all right, like he's done with these other love children. And what I came to find out is that the mother of this love child, she was a child. She was a minor when Jay-Z impregnated her. So, and he wasn't. So that would prove that he himself is a pedophile as well, just like Diddy. So he can't validate that that's his child because that would incriminating him of sexually assaulting a minor, a child. So I think that's why he's never worked out a deal with them, which is really sad.
Do you think the Diddy case will get to trial?
Yeah, I do think it'll get to trial. And I really, knock on wood, I really don't think that they're going to be able to murder him. I think it will get to trial. As of now, I believe it's set for May 5th, 2025. And I believe that Diddy is ready to throw everyone under the bus. You know, you look at Ghislaine Maxwell, and she hasn't given up anyone. And Diddy's a different beast. I think he's at the point where he's just like, all these people, they've turned on me, so screw them. I'm going to go scorched earth and rat them all out. He has nothing to lose at this point. Like, he might as well, you know, try to rat all of them out in exchange for maybe avoiding the death penalty or getting a nicer prison cell with a view or something like that. But I think Diddy is a wild card. I think he's going to go scorched earth. I don't think he cares. I think he's like, you all are just as guilty as me. Some of you are more guilty than me, so screw you. So there's been reports that he wants to testify, and that's unheard of, you know, to be accused of crimes at this level. Like, no lawyer would ever advise a client to testify. But if he does want to testify and he does testify, that tells me that that he's going to go scorched earth on exposing these people, in my opinion.
So if he goes scorched earth, aren't the forces of darkness above him so powerful that they could manipulate the jail system and do something to him?
I mean, they could. I mean, they've been able to manipulate so much for so long, but they weren't able to protect him. They weren't able to, at the end of the day, they weren't able to prevent Epstein from being thrown in prison. They weren't able to protect Ghislaine. And so, you know, there's a lot of dark forces, but the forces of light are much stronger. And like, this can of worms is too big. There's too many worms coming out. You can't put them back at this point. So they can try, you know. J-Lo's PR team, it's hilarious watching the headlines that come out about her, because they know they're screwed. She's scared. And so they keep pushing out these like fluffy, lame stories that I can tell are just an obvious way to deflect from all the things that people are digging up about her and the exposure of her potential crimes. And so it's like, okay, they can play this game where they're like playing whack-a-mole and like, you know, oh, J-Lo has a new ball, or J-Lo's this, or J-Lo whatever, all these positive stories. But that's not going to stop what's coming, and she will be exposed. So, you know, there comes a point where this is just too big. They're not going to be able to cover this up. And there's too many victims, there's too much evidence, and there's too many witnesses, and too many people are coming forward. You know, and the more people that come forward, it emboldens the other people that are maybe afraid to come forward and encourages them. People are feeling safer to come forward at this point. So I don't think any of these people are going to escape this. And I wouldn't be surprised if Jay-Z is the next person who's arrested.
Wow. All right. Well, where does the line stop then that can't be crossed into the untouchable class? Is that the Clintons? Is that the Queen's favorite son? Surely there is a class of people who are untouchable.
Yeah. You know, so when you look at someone like Diddy and Jay-Z, then there's people above them, you know, and that would be, you know, the like members of the royal family and the politicians. But then you look like higher up, and it would be, you know, these like really wealthy, like dark elite families that are involved in the banking business, you know, like the George Soros of the world. I would also say that a lot of these, you know, record executives and or the elites that own these companies, like these people would be higher up on the totem pole. And I also want to add that the lawyer that's representing several of these victims, like, he made it very clear, it's not just other celebrities that are going to be exposed and that are going to be going down for criminality associated with Diddy's sex trafficking ring. It's going to be corporations. It's going to be many businesses. It's, you know, so this is, I don't think people understand how big this is. It's Diddy's ring has the potential to not only take down all of Hollywood, but also probably some of DC. If you throw in Epstein's ring into that, then, you know, if all of Epstein and Diddy's rings were exposed, then DC and Hollywood would be totally done. But it's not just politicians and Hollywood. Diddy's ring has the potential to take down so many corporations, you know, so many corporations that facilitated the sex trafficking that they knew it was going on. So we're talking about, you know, banks, we're talking about companies that promoted his parties. We're talking about potentially social media. Was he using social media and other companies as a tool to buy and sell children? Was Diddy using victims that are migrants? You know, we now know that one of his heads of security bought a huge property on the U.S.-Mexico border. Well, that's kind of bizarre. Like, why the interest in that property along the border, where we know that children are being brought over and they're being sex trafficked and they're being put in the hands of traffickers? Under Kamala Harris's and Joe Biden's administration, there's, as of right now, over 300,000 missing children. And we know for a fact that many, if not almost all of these kids, have been sex trafficked. So who are they being sex trafficked to? And was this property used to capture, you know, women and children that they could buy and sell via Diddy's ring? So this is going to get much bigger.
Liz, why do you do what you do?
When in 2012, I was working as an entertainment journalist and I had a wonderful life and a great job. And, you know, I made a nice six-figure salary and, you know, I was living my best life. And then I got involved in a relationship that was extremely abusive. And I was a victim of, you know, physical, psychological, and sexual abuse. And that abuse landed me in the hospital, basically on my deathbed, and I almost ended up dying. And so that was in 2012, and I was so sick, and I still have ongoing health issues from that, but I was so sick that I was unable to function. I was unable to work. I have permanent neurological issues from that. So I lost everything. I lost my job. I lost my health. I lost my ability to work. I lost my apartment. I had to go on, you know, like different forms of like government welfare programs, like food stamps, you know, assisted living, disability. So I went from here to here. And that really lit a fire inside me, because the person that did this to me didn't even want to cover my hospital bills. And so I pursued civil and criminal justice against this person for many years. And it inspired me to not just expose him, but to do advocacy work for sex crime victims. And so I wrote a novel called Malice that you can buy on Amazon if you're interested, but that was inspired by true events that happened to me. And so, you know, that's what inspired me to become an advocate for sex crime victims. So, you know, I started doing charity work and speaking events, you know, in, I don't know, 2014 or so, wrote my book and whatnot. And at that point in time, I just kind of felt that, all right, this is kind of my calling. I'm meant to, you know, help other victims of sex crimes and become an advocate. But at that point in time, I didn't know that pedophilia and child sex trafficking rings were this prevalent. And so then in 2015, my health was much better. And I realized it's time for me to get back into reporting. And I really wanted to get back into covering hard news, and specifically the election in 2016, because I could see how they were blatantly lying about President Trump. And one of the reasons why I did that and supported President Trump is because I started understanding how bad these elite pedophile rings were and how bad sex trafficking was. And I knew that President Trump would go after sex trafficking and these sex traffickers, and he would combat it like never before. And so that's why I really started speaking up for him and reporting the truth about him back in 2016. And then the Podesta emails came out and I was horrified. I read the emails and I went down that rabbit hole. And then I realized that, oh my gosh, like almost everyone in Hollywood and DC is involved in child sex trafficking. And they're not just trafficking and raping these kids. They're literally like committing these like satanic ritualistic abuse on these children. The stuff I learned there's no horror movie that's worse than what they're really doing to these kids. And at that point, you know, I'm not a super religious person, but God speaks to me, and I don't get many messages from God in my life. But in 2016, God made it very clear that I'm calling you to expose this. You are the one person that is meant to expose Pizzagate and these elite pedophile rings. And God said, this is what I'm calling you to do. And it's not going to be an easy fight, but I will protect you and you will be vindicated and validated like here on earth in this lifetime. And he also told me that Trump would take down these sex trafficking rings. And Trump didn't talk about this in 2016, but that's what God told me. Mm-hmm. And so I said, all right, like I'm up for the job, God, like sign me up. And so I started exposing this. And sure enough, one of the first things Trump did when he got into office was to address the issues of human trafficking. And he said that we're going to combat it like it's never been combated before. He signed, I believe, 9 executive orders to stop human trafficking. And what people don't really understand is that the reason why Jeffrey Epstein was taken down was because of Trump. It was his DOJ. It was his attorney general, Jeffrey Sessions, that started this new investigation into Epstein that led to the takedown of him. And then another elite pedophiles such as NXIVM, and he took down Backpage, where a lot of the sex trafficking was happening. So he started that ball rolling. So because of my personal experiences in life and being a survivor of a horrible sexual assault, it's personal for me. But I also believe because I had those experiences as a survivor, but also as someone that works as a journalist for 2 decades, who's happens to be very skilled at investigative journalism, I believe that God gave me the tools to be the person to expose this, because I understood it. You know, I understood this world in the sense that I was a victim turned survivor, and that I also had the skills to uncover these things and to connect dots that a lot of people aren't able to connect. And so, yeah, I believe this is what God called me to do. And it's been the most important work I've ever done. But I won't lie. My life's been a living nightmare for the past 8 years. Like, this is the one topic that they don't want you to cover. And if you cover this topic, forget it. You're going to lose all your social media accounts. You're going to be slandered on every mainstream media outlet. You're going to be slandered on the Today Show. You're going to have all these celebrities coming after you. You're going to have people like threatening to sue you. You're going to be gang stalked in your home. You're going to have your dog poisoned, not once, but twice. They're going to try to kill you. You're going to have spies moving into your building. I mean, I had to stop dating because every guy that came in my life that wanted to date me turned out to be a spy. So I was like, all right, I guess I'm going to stay single for a while.
What do you think about the waves that you made and the responses to Out of Shadows?
Yeah, so Out of Shadows was amazing because in 2020, there were still so many people that believed that Pizzagate was a conspiracy theory, because the media and the deep state did, I will give them credit, they did a very good job of not just lying about Pizzagate. They completely redefined what Pizzagate is. So they made it all about one pizza shop in a basement, and oh yeah, Hillary's trafficking kids out of a basement of a pizza shop, which that's never what it was about. It always was about, wow, we just read the Podesta emails and they're using pedophile code words such as pizza in a context that clearly does not apply to pizza or food. That's what Pizzagate was about. And that exposed that they were trafficking kids, but they turned it into nothing to do with the Podesta emails and said, oh, crazy conspiracy theorists like Liz Crokin, they're saying that, you know, Hillary's like just in a basement, you know, and just trafficking kids, like, and that's never what it was about. So many people, they heard that and they're like, that's crazy. That's ridiculous. And so they didn't believe it. That was the psyop to deflect and distract from the Podesta emails and what it really was. So, you know, for years, everyone thought I was crazy and no one believed it. And then I met Mike Smith, who also worked in Hollywood. He worked as a director and a stunt double for decades. And he was at the top of his game. He was the best of the best in the business. He was flown around the world, first class. You know, I mean, he was a stunt double for all these A-listers. You know, I think he was Batman and James Bond, you know, stunt doubles for people like Christian Bale. Like, he was not a small time guy. And he started following me on social media. And at first he was like, ooh, this girl seems a little loco. But then he started researching it, or what I was saying, and looking into it. And he's like, wait, there's something to what she's saying. She's telling the truth. And so he decided that he was going to do a documentary and expose all of this, which was Out of Shadows. And he understood that once he did that, he would never work in Hollywood again. And he was okay with that. He didn't want anything to do with Hollywood anymore once he found out what's really going on. So he contacted me and we did the documentary together, and he did an amazing job with it. But what he said to me before it came out, or before he started filming it, is that he said, look, I see how you have been mocked, made fun of, like ostracized, slandered, like for years. And he's like, I want to validate you. He's like, I want to validate you and tell the truth about who you are and your background, how great of a journalist you are. And he did that with Out of Shadows. And when Out of Shadows came out in 2020, you know, I knew it'd do well. You know, at this point in time, I wasn't banned from YouTube yet, and I was getting about 500,000 views on my videos. So I knew it'd get millions of views. But what happened is the date that we planned to launch it was like right when the whole world locked down. So nobody could go into work. Nobody could go out to dinner, to the mall. And so everyone was like, oh my gosh, like people that normally aren't stuck at home were stuck at home. And that's when we debuted Out of Shadows. And, you know, I still had a bunch of my social media accounts, and so did Mike, and so did a bunch of our friends. And so we, you know, we aired it, we did a viewing party, we launched it, we hyped it up, we did a bunch of interviews to promote it, and it went crazy viral. I think it got over 1 million views in 24 hours, but then I think by the end of the weekend, within 48 hours, I think it was at like 3 or 4 million. And then after that, it just went crazy viral, and it ended up getting hundreds of millions of views just in 2020. And so, you know, the fact that, and we put it out for free too, because we wanted everyone to see this. Like, our goal was, it's never to make money. It was to get the truth out there. And so, yeah, it went crazy viral. And they freaked out. They did not see this coming. So they ended up having to ban the hashtag Outer Shadows on Facebook, Instagram, I think Twitter too. But they couldn't stop it. You know, like this was like kind of like Diddy, in the sense that like we took this can of worms and it like exploded, and they were trying to control it and they were shutting us down or whatever, but like it hundreds of millions of people were still able to see it. And to this day, you know, no media can say, oh, that's not accurate, or that's not true what Liz said in that doc, or what Mike reported in the doc. They can't say that because there's nothing in there that's false. So that woke up hundreds of millions of people. And you know, it was going crazy on TikTok. You know, Mike and I, we'd go out for dinner or whatnot, you know, once you could start going out to dinner again. And people were recognizing us left and right. You know, it was crazy. So that was probably one of the best things that happened to validate Pizzagate and to really get it in like the mainstream conscience. And that was in 2020. And fast forward to now, 2024. Last year, we had the FBI confirm pizza is a pedophile code word. We had the Wall Street Journal confirm it. Meta is literally getting sued because they have a major pedophilia and sex trafficking problem. But one of the reasons why they're getting sued, which is cited in the lawsuit, is because people are using pizza to buy and sell child porn. So, you know, that all that happened last year. So that was before Diddy got raided and arrested. So those things happen. And I think more and more people that didn't believe in Pizzagate or thought it was fake start seeing that. And they're like, oh, maybe there is something to this. And then fast forward to now, we have all these elites going down, all these celebrities going down. We have Diddy arrested. You know, we know that the Biden-Harris administration, that they're trafficking children. You know, all these people tied to Diddy and Jeffrey Epstein and Hillary Clinton, they're all being paraded around and they're supporting Kamala Harris. And, you know, and then we had Joe Biden the other night at the White House on their Halloween event. You know, trick or treating, little kids are there trick or treating. You have Joe Biden dressed up as a panda bear. Well, for those of people that don't know, panda is another pedophile symbol. I'll say, and I won't say what it is because it's so disgusting that I don't even feel comfortable explaining what it is, but it's sick. But you have her dressed up as a panda, which is a pedophile symbol. Then you have a guy dressed up as a pizza, you know, in line with these little kids. Then you have Joe Biden try to eat, and he's biting not one, not two, not three, but four babies. Mm-hmm. And one of the babies that he was biting was dressed as a chicken. Well, guess what else is a pedophile code word? Chicken. There's, it's not even a pedophile code word. Chicken lovers is a known slang that means a grown man that is sexually attracted to children. So the kid's dressed as a chicken and he's chomping on it. That's a pedo code. And he's biting. He's sticking a full foot in his mouth. And it's like, you know, and there's all this pedophile symbol. And now people know the pizza, the panda, they know that's a pedophile symbol. So you have them like eating kids with the pedophile symbolism everywhere. And I did a post on that. And I quote tweeted the White House's post on it with the video. Well, my tweet exposing that they literally had a pedophile themed Halloween event for children, which they did, that my post has more views in the White House, like by 300,000. So, you know, like there's been a paradigm shift. Now people are seeing, I mean, when you have Biden, like, you know, sticking a whole foot of a kid up his mouth, you know, people are like, okay, like this is not normal. Like there's pedophile symbolism everywhere. You know, you get the Diddy, people are awake now. I think we've turned a corner where people are realizing this isn't a conspiracy theory. Like these people are sick, they're demonic, and they are involved in the rape, torture, and trafficking of children. Like I think we get it now. I think we've turned a corner, and we're past the like Pizzagate conspiracy theory. And so, and I've noticed more and more people, including more people in the mainstream media, are starting to talk about it and use the word pizza and Pizzagate. But before that was like the one topic, God forbid, you know, you mentioned Pizzagate, forget it. Your life's over. So.
Wow, Liz. Oh my goodness. I had no idea how many people you've influenced. Well done. We salute your bravery. Can you just tell the viewers where they can find you and support you then?
Yeah, you can support me at lizcrokin.net. I have a store there. There's a way to donate to me there. My documentaries are there. There's a link to Out of Shadows. I also did a documentary called Slave Princess. You can find that also on slaveprincess.com. And that not just exposes Britney's illegal conservatorship where she was trafficked. It also talks about the widespread problem of pedophilia in Hollywood. And there's a lot of players involved, like that Lou Taylor woman I was talking about who manages Diddy and the Kardashians. I expose a lot of those people as well. So it's not just about Britney. And that documentary is very timely now because it exposes a lot of the players that have big problems and I'm very confident will end up in jail. So Slave Princess, my videos are there, my articles are there. And then I, you know, you can follow me on X at Liz Crokin. I post most of my stuff on X as of right now. That may change because I'm still having censorship issues. But for now, Atlas Croken on X. And I've been posting a lot there because, you know, we only have one more day until the election. And we'll see what happens. We will see if there will be a steal again or not.
All right. Thanks, Liz. Viewers, let us know in the comments what you thought about this. Absolutely mind-blowing. Such a powerful... The stories from your experience and everything, so powerful. So if your minds are blown as much as mine, let us know in the comments. And all of Liz's links will be in the description box below this video as well. So thank you for watching, and huge thank you to Liz. Cheers.
Thank you, Sean, for...